Okay, this morning, 2 Samuel chapter 18. And David numbered the people that were with him, and set captains over thousands and captains over hundreds of them. And David sent forth a third part of the people under the hand of Joab, and a third part under the hand of Abishai, and the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, and a third part under the hand of Ittai the Gittite. And the king said to the people, I will surely go forth with you myself also. But the people answered, You shall not go forth, for if we flee away, they shall not care for us, neither if half of us die, they will not care for us. But now that you are worth 10,000 of us, therefore now it is better that you succor us out of the city. And the king said to them, What seemeth you best I will do? And the king stood by the gate side, and all the people came out by hundreds and by thousands. And the king commanded Joab and Abishai and Ittai, saying, Deal gently for my sake with the young man, even with Absalom. And all the people heard when the king gave all the captains charge concerning Absalom. Now the people went out into the field against Israel, and the battle was in the wood of Ephraim, where the people of Israel were slain before the servants of David. And there was a great slaughter that day of 20,000 men, for the battle was there scattered over the face of all the country, and the wood devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. And Absalom met the servants of David, and Absalom rode upon a mule. And the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak. And he was taken up between the heaven and earth, and the mule was that was under him went away. And a certain man saw it and told Joab, and said, Behold, I saw Absalom hanged in an oak. And Joab said unto the man that told him, And behold, thou sawest him, and why didst thou not smite him there to the ground? And I would have given you 10 shekels of silver and a girdle. And the man said to Joab, Though I should receive 1,000 shekels of silver in my hand, yet would I not put forth my hand against the king's son. For in our hearing the king charged you and Abishai and Ittai, saying, Beware that none touch the young man Absalom. Otherwise I should have wrought falsehood against my own life, for there is no matter hid from the king, and you yourself wouldest have set thyself against me. Then said Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee. And he took 3 darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. And the 10 young men that bare Joab's armor compassed about and smote Absalom and slew him. And Joab blew the trumpet, and the people returned from pursuing after Israel, for Joab held back the people. And they took Absalom and cast him in a great pit in the wood, and laid a very great heap of stones upon him, and all Israel fled, every one to his tent. Now Absalom, his lifetime, had taken and reared up for himself a pillar, which is in the king's dale. For he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. And he called the pillar after his own name, and is called unto this day Absalom's place. Then Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, son of Zadok, let me now run and bear the king tidings how that the Lord has avenged him of his enemies. And Joab said unto him, You shall not bear tidings this day, but you shall bear tidings another day. But this day you shall not bear tidings, because the king's son is dead. Then said Joab to Cushi, Go tell the king what thou hast seen. And Cushi showed himself unto Joab and ran. Or bowed himself to Joab and ran. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, But howsoever let me, I pray thee also, run after Cushi. And Joab said, Wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing that you have no tidings ready? But howsoever, said he, let me run. And he said to him, Run. Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and overran Cushi. And David sat between the 2 gates, and the watchman went up to the roof, over the gate and to the wall, lifted up his eyes and looked and beheld a man running alone. And the watchman cried and told the king, and the king said, If he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth. And he came apace and drew near. And the watchman saw another man running, and the watchman called unto the porter and said, Behold, another man running alone. And the king said, He also brings tidings. And the watchman said, Methinketh the running at the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. And the king said, He is a good man and comes with good tidings. And Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, All is well. And he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, Blessed be the Lord thy God, which has delivered up the men that lift up their hand against my lord the king. And the king said, Is the young man Absalom safe? And Ahimaaz answered, When Joab sent the king's servant and me thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. And the king said unto him, Turn aside and stand here. And he turned aside and stood still. And behold, Cushi came, and Cushi said, Tidings, my lord, the king, for the Lord has avenged you this day of all them that rose up against you. And the king said to Cushi, Is the young man Absalom safe? And Cushi answered, The enemies of my lord, the king, and all that rise against you to do you hurt, be as the young man is. And the king was much moved and went up the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would to God I had died for you. O Absalom, my son, my son. Kind of a long chapter, but there's some good stuff in here. Again, this is not just about David, is it? It's not just about these names of people, but this is all trying to show you how God is dealing in your life. And what we have to gather from this writing is, what does it teach me how to live my life today by what happened in their life at that time? Okay? And David didn't number the people. You've heard how David numbered the people and created problems. David did not number the people. You know what the word says? He mustered the people. He gathered them together. What the language says. He mustered the people. No, okay. But he got the people together with him. Now look, here's why I say mustard. In a military sense, what was he doing? What was David ready to do? He was ready to go to war. He had to get his army in order, did he not? So he mustered, and that's a word used in the military terminology. They mustered the people. They bring them all together so they can give everybody orders and get everything set together. So he mustered the people, and then what did he do? He set leaders over top of them. So he had to bring them together to see who he had so he could deal with this situation versus that situation. Who was the best man to take this position and that position? And that's what we have to do in our lives. We have to take control of the thoughts in our minds. We have to chase down which is the best way to do this and which is the best way to handle that situation. And it all goes back to what we were talking earlier. What do? You must think about these things. And David put in some thinking process here. And he chose out who would be the captains over the thousands and the captains over the leaders over the hundreds. And on in verse 2 he said, David set forth a third part of the people under the hand of Joab, which means God-fathered, right? And a third part of them under the hand of Abishai. My father is a gift, okay? And the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother. And a third part under the hand of Atiah, which means near or with me, right? The Gittite, that's the wine press, that's the city of Goliath, where the giant lives. And the king said to people, I will surely go forth with you myself. There's a whole bunch of stuff in here. Let me go back to the second verse again. And David set forth a third part. How many realms and covenants do we have? We have three, right? So if he set one-third with one-third with the other one, and one-third with the other one, what do we have it back to again? A whole one. God set them out in three different directions, and just like there's three feasts, Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles, each one has a destination, each one has a goal, right? They have something to accomplish. So what is it to us if God sends out a group of people, a third of the creation, to be in the Passover experience? Whose call is that? It's God's call, not ours, so we can't condemn anybody wherever they're at. And another third he sends out to Pentecost. And another 30 calls out the tabernacle. What's it to us? We didn't make the call, did we? I didn't start this thing, and neither did you. God did. So he's putting everything together, third part of each one to do what God has got them to be. Sure, all humanity is in one of those three realms. And we didn't choose ourselves. The book clearly says, you didn't choose him, he chose you. And the king said to people, I will surely go with you. That's Christ. See, no matter where you're going, I'm going to be right there with you. And but the people said, you shall not go forth, because if we flee, they will not care for us, neither if half of us die will they care for us. Because now you are worth 10,000 of us. Therefore now it's better that you protect or aid us out of the city. You protect us out of the city. He's going to lead and direct them from the city and give them directions, but he's in a protected area. Okay? Where is Christ in you? He's within you. He's in a protected area. Can anyone touch him? No. They can only touch your flesh. God can't die, can he? His spirit's within you. That's the Christ within you. He can't be touched in here. And the king said to them, what seems best to you, I'll do. And the king stood by the gate side, and all the people descended by hundreds and by thousands. And the king commanded Joab, Abishai, and Attai, saying, deal gently for my sake with the young man, even with Absalom, right? And all the people heard. This word heard here is shama. They heard with the intent to respond intelligently. When the king gave all the captains charge concerning Absalom, the charge by words. They heard the words that David said to those three, right? So what did he say, really? Who was he talking to? He was talking to the three captains over his thirds of his guard, which is Passover, right? Pentecost and Tabernacles, right? So he said, no matter where you're at, deal kindly with my who? My son who? So he said, always take care of my son. You know what? There's a son there, there, and there. Do you realize that in whatever experience you are, the son is in you? And he said, always deal gingerly with my son. But you know what the natural man wants to do? If you're not like me, kill him. Kill him. But you know what? Even in the natural realm, this one does the same thing. Even in the natural realm, wherever you stand, until God gets a hold of you, you'll still say, kill him. You'll have no mercy and grace. So the people went out into the field against Israel. Now these were people fighting their own family. Do you realize that? This was the tribes of Israel fighting amongst themselves. The world's not involved in this. Do you realize today that there's no battle in the world with the church? Hello? You know where the battle is today? In the church. It's in the heart of people that say they're religious. Isn't it true? You can go out and talk to people in the streets who's never been inside of a church, and they'll say, that makes more sense than anything the world ever heard. And they don't care whether you say up, down, north, south, east, or west. They don't care. But it's only people who think they know something that wants to fight you. And that just shows you who they are. The battle is in Israel. It's in the religious. And it said, they went out into the field against Israel, and the battle was where? It's in the wood of Ephraim, or the forest of Ephraim, which represents duality. And as long as there's duality in our lives, guess what we're going to have? We're going to have turmoil. Even in Passover and Pentecost, we can't have anything but duality, can we? And when we come to tabernacles, guess what? There's still not perfection, is there? When you walk into the beginning of tabernacles, you're not in perfection. You come as a child, and you grow into maturity, just like Jesus did. It's not something that's an instant, you know, snap your fingers and you're there. But a lot of people think it's that way. And look at verse 7. The battle was in the wood of Ephraim, or the forest of Ephraim, where the people of Israel were defeated. How about that? You know how you're going to get defeated? Remain here. There's the forest. There's the forest of Ephraim. It's in the Passover and Pentecostal experience. It's still in duality. We must come to this third day. We must come to maturity, okay? And we'll know that the defeat is going to come as long as I stay in that realm. You know, God said in the Old Testament, Genesis, He said that as long as the serpent is on the earth, his food would be what? The dust. And the dust and the sand covenants are both upon the earth. They're both dust, aren't they? Sand is just a little bit bigger pieces of dust than the regular dust. So you're always going to be the serpent's food there. And it says there was a great defeat that day of 20,000. 20,000 men. And the battle there was scattered or spread over the face or the mind of all the earth. The mind of all what? The battle was scattered over the mind of all humanity. There's no battle that you're going through that somebody else isn't going through. I'm talking about thinking process. I'm not talking about details of a situation. Is it you and someone else having a problem? But I'm talking about the principle of that problem is the same for all humanity. It's how I think with the mind of myself, the carnal mind, or am I thinking with the mind of God? It's the same struggles that everyone else has. I think it says, I can't remember the verse where it says, there is no sin that's not common to man. And that's the thinking process. That's the only sin, if you want to call it sin, it's the thinking process. But the battle was spread over the face of the mind of all humanity, and the wood devoured more people that day than the sword. You hear that? The battle didn't devour more people, but the duality itself of the humanity is what defeated most people. Does that sound familiar? It's the things in your own thinking process that destroys yourself. Your enemy is who? Your own thinking is your enemy. It's within yourself. There's no enemy external from you. It's the way you think in yourself. It's the way you think of yourself. If you don't love yourself, can you love someone else, Bob? If you don't love yourself, you cannot love anyone else. You've got to love what God has got in you, whether you want to or not. That's not an option. I got to love it. I want to love whatever God has created because they're all part of us. What? I'm not sure exactly.
We only tend to love people that love.
Absolutely. And what was the writings in the New Testament? He says, does not the heathen even love their own? The Gentiles love their own? He said, what thank of you, God, if you love your own? But you should be loving the ones different from you. The ones that don't love you back. Whether they love you or not, that's not the point. Do you love them? If you love because someone loves you, do you really love? See, you're responding to what they give you. But you have to be able to give unconditional whether they give it back or not. Right, you're receiving and not giving. Go ahead. That's one of them. That's not the one I want. Is this okay? But it is. That is it. In verse 9, it goes on back to Absalom, says, and Absalom met, and that word met literally in a hostile manner, met the servants of David. Now, David's men were going out to do battle, so what kind of a way you think they met? The language actually says in a hostile manner is how he met him. They were going to kill him. And Absalom rode upon a mule. He was still on the beast. And the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between the heaven and earth. And the mule that was under him passed on. Now, there's more said in there than you think. Absalom was filled up with pride, right? The oak tree. Does anybody know what the oak tree represents? It's strength and... what else? Idolatry. A lot of the idols were made out of the oak tree because it was a strong, long-lasting wood. Their oaks were a lot of times referred to as idols. His strength was in his own self, in the idolatry of himself, in pride. And his head caught hold of the oak. You know what catches hold of idols? It's not your hands, it's not your feet, but it's your brain. It's your thought process that catches on to idols. As a man thinketh, see, if I think that something's valuable, what will I do to protect it? Anything. Give my life for it, see, if I think it's valuable. And just like people think about money, money is just part of the earth. It's a tree with ink on it. It's some gold or silver mined out of the ground, and people want to kill people for it. They think it's more important than life itself. And if you're dead, what gives it to you? Don't make sense. But they still think that way. And he was taken up between heaven and earth. You know what that shows me? He was into this. Religion. And religion is this. Religion is idolatry. I'm talking about man's religion, not God's religion. He was caught up by his idols between heaven and earth. I know it was saying he was hung in a tree, but he was suspended between heaven and earth. And see, that's what idolatry and religion does to you. It'll get your head caught up. Your head gets caught up. Guess what's going to happen? You're going to be susceptible to die. Yeah, I could be. Yep. And the mule went on and passed on. And a certain man, or one man, saw it and told Joab and said, "Behold, I saw Absalom hanged in an oak." We'll come back to this man again a little later on in the chapter. And Joab said to the man that told him, "And behold, you saw him and you did not smite him there to the ground? I would have given you 10 pieces of silver and a girdle or a belt," you know, something they all wore back in, a big wide belt to keep things in. And the man said to Joab, If I should receive 1,000 shekels of silver in my hand, yet would I not put forth my hand against the king's son? Because in our hearing, okay, in our ears, the king charged you and Abishai and Atiah, saying, beware or protect for me the young man, Absalom." He wanted him protected. He didn't want him to die, did he? Now, what does this bring back to your mind, or does it bring anything to your mind, where he says, "I will not put forth my hand against the king's son"? In 1 Chronicles 16:22, it says, "To touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm." Same thing out of Psalm 105, verse 15. Okay? "Touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm." Anyone with the right understanding of God at all knows you don't lay your hand on God's anointed, right? 1 Chronicles 16:22 and Psalm 105:15. On in 13, he says, "Otherwise I should have wrought falsehood against my own" what? Actually, it's the word soul. Now, it's a soulish life, okay? "For because there is no matter hid from the king, and you yourself would have set yourself against me." This man that he touched, that he's talking to, he said, you know, "You want me to kill him, but if I'd killed him, you'd have come back and killed me." Always pointing the finger to the other ones, you know. That's the way religion does it. And that's the way our thinking process is. I'm trying to think who it was. Oh, okay, I remember now. I was with some people a few days ago, or back last week or something, several times. And I just noticed something, that every time something happened, you know what happened? They were always pointing, it was somebody else's fault. It was so obvious that I couldn't believe the people did not see how negative they were. They were never responsible for what they did. And you can see that in people once you realize you start taking responsibility in your life. How easy is it for you to see someone else shunning their responsibility? It's just, but see, it's not condemnation. It's just a fact, it's not a slander. It's just the fact that you can see and discern, that's not the right way for me to go. You know the truth. How could you ever deny it and go back to pointing the finger again? I can't do it. It's so obvious, it's just something that you can see. Okay. Then said Joab, I will not waste time with you. King James says, I will not tarry thus with you. Literally it says, I will not waste time with you. And he took 3 darts in his hand and thrust him through the heart of Absalom while he was alive in the midst of the tree. Literally, you know what it says? It doesn't say the mist. The word right there, mist, is the word lab. Do you know what that Hebrew word means?
Heart.
While he was yet in the heart of the tree. What would that mean to you? He was, his mind was still in the midst of idolatry, even though he was hanging there in that tree. That's where he was killed. And how many darts did he put in it? Okay. Here. He put one right in here. He put one right in here. And he put one right in here. And you'll say, how could that possibly be? Because as long as there is division amongst the children of God, we do not have this number right here. We do not have tabernacles until we have reconciliation of all. Do you hear me? You can't have tabernacles without reconciliation. That's what tabernacles is called. It's the feast of ingathering. It's the feast of oneness. Right? So it's all coming back into one. There's where you're going to have your tabernacles. But as long as our thinking process is still there, we have to be aware that there is 3 different things there. But we have to also reconcile those back to one. That's the purpose of the Son of God, to bring creation back to His Father. Correct? Believe me, you've got to grasp that. Look at verse 15. I didn't get the last word, did it? In the midst of the oak of idolatry. Now, let me do something here. When it said he was yet alive in the midst of the oak, the word oak, you know what that word means? No? See, now that's if you use the word, but if you go see what the language said, it was a mistranslation. The word is not oak. It's not the same word as the oak. No, it's not even that. But here, it says the valley where David killed Goliath. Where David killed Goliath. Very interesting. That's right. That's what I'm saying. Go look at the language and see. Okay? Not the same word. See? So, but see, that's what I'm saying. You can't just read the English words and understand what it says. You've got to go back and look at what it really means. If you just read the English words in it, that's where it gets you off base. No. 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 It's in the valley where David killed Goliath. And look what happens in the next verse. And 10 young men that bear Joab's armor surrounded and smote Absalom and killed him. Now, what does 10 represent? The law. You know what the law of religion will do to you? It'll constantly kill you. All the law. What was the penalty of the law?
Death.
See? So as long as we live under the rules of do and don't do, what are we going to do? We're going to die, and everyone associated with us is going to what? Because we're using that judgment as a penalty of death. And Jesus came and removed the messianic penalty of death by His dying. So why are we trying to reinstitute the law again? Do I like what everybody else does? No. Does anyone in here like what everybody does around you? But it's not my call. My call is to love people irregardless. Love them irregardless. It didn't say I have to lie to them and tell them they're real nice, sweet people when they're not. See? It just tell them the truth. That would be a lie and a hypocritical statement. So I'll just say, if someone is very negative, and I say, you're very negative, is that bad? It's just the truth. Jesus spoke to the Pharisees, the religious folk, and told them they were serpents, they were hypocrites, they were liars, thieves, whatever. He told them the truth, did he not? Humanity doesn't like light, does it? They like darkness. They like their deeds to be hidden. And Jesus came and he said he lighted every man that came into the world. Correct? So guess what? Whether you like it or not, guess what he's going to do? He's going to turn the light on you whether you like it or not, going to see your flaws. It's for your benefit. It's for your benefit. That light removes darkness, does it not? If you flip the switch on, if you're laying in bed at night and someone comes and flips the light on, what's it do? Oh, turn it off, it hurts. But you know what? It reveals, doesn't it? And that's what God's going to do. He's going to reveal everything to us, whether we like it or not, because he is faithful to do what he said he was going to do. Reconcile all back to him. That means the bad stuff's got to go. The flaws got to go. And he's going to do it in his way by revealing light. And that's what it takes. And Joab blew the trumpet, and the people returned from pursuing after Israel because Joab held the people back. He restrained the people, right? He done did it, so that's the end of that. And they took Absalom and cast him into a very great pit in the woods in humanity and laid a great heap of stones upon him, and all Israel fled, every one to his tent. They cast him into a great pit. Carnal mind. The bottomless pit. Covered him up with a bunch of stones. And aren't we a bunch of lively stones? Now Absalom in his lifetime had taken and reared up for himself a pillar or a monumental stone. Okay? A stone monument here, which is in the king's valley, because he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. And he called the pillar after his own name, and it is called to this day Absalom's what? Absalom's monument or Absalom's portion. If all I ever had in life was a big stone with my name on it, I don't think it'd be much of an accomplishment, would it? Don't think so. Got to have a better goal than that in life. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, let me run and bear the king tidings. What does Ahimaaz mean again? The brother of anger. The son of Zadok, the priest, the righteous one. Let me now run. And see, even now the religious priests are still anger. Now let me run and bear the king tidings. Because the Lord has avenged him of his enemies, or his adversary, from the hand of his adversary. And Joab said to him, you shall not bear tidings this day, but you shall bear tidings another day, or tomorrow, I should say. But this day you shall not bear tidings, because the king's son is dead. Then said Joab to Cushai, and what does Cushai mean? Blackness. Or what's blackness represent? Ignorance. He was an Ethiopian, yes, but his name means blackness, and blackness or darkness means ignorance in Scripture. So still talking to the one that was ignorant. Go tell the king what you have seen. And Cushai bowed himself unto Joab and ran. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, but whatsoever happens, let me, I pray, that's what the NAS says, whatsoever happens, let me, I pray, you also run after Cushai. And Joab said, wherefore will you run, my son? seeing that you have no reward. Why are you going to run? What's the purpose? But no matter what, whatever happens, he said, let me run. And he said to him, run. And then Ahimaaz, the brother of anger, ran by the way of the what? The word plain here, if you look it up, doesn't say plain. It says the valley of Jordan. And overran or overtook Cushai. So what did he do? He ran through the valley of what? Death. Okay? And overran Cushai, the ignorant one. Sounds like a Passover and Pentecost stuff to me. And David sat between the two gates. He sat in the middle. And the watchman went up to the roof over the gate and to the wall and lifted his eyes and looked and beheld a man running alone. And the watchman cried and told the king. And the king said, if he be alone, there is what in his mouth? Well, if you look at the language, it says good news. There'd be good news in his mouth. And he came apace and drew near. And the watchman saw another man running, and the watchman called to the porter. You know what that porter is? Who was the watchman looking for? Not looking out there for, but who was he watching for? Who was the watchman watching for? King David. So who do you think this porter really should be? Well, it says, the watchman called him to the porter, and the word porter here means gatekeeper, and the gatekeeper was David. He was sitting there between the gates. So he was talking to David. I don't know why they wrote it in this language, but it's makes a little confusion there. And said, behold, another man running alone. And the king said, he also brings good news. Same word again, tidings. Good news. Now, that's the gospel coming. The good news. Okay? And the watchman said, methinks? No. It says, I think the running of the first is like the running of Ahimaaz, which is the brother of anger, the son of Zadok, the priest. And the king said, he's a good man and comes with good what? News. Good news. And Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, all is well. And you know that's not what he said? You know what the king, what he said to him? Shalom. What does shalom mean? Three words. Health, prosperity, and peace. That's what the word shalom means. Health, prosperity, and peace. So he said, health, prosperity, and peace. And he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, blessed be the Lord thy God, which has delivered up not the men, but the, hello, the man that lifted up his hand against my lord the king. There's only one man that has ever lifted up his hand against the Lord. Adam. Adam. Huh? The man of sin. Adam. The man of pride. And where am I at again? No, I'm still there. I'm not finished there. He lifted up the man and his hand against the Lord the king. Yeah. And the king said, is the young man Absalom not safe, but is he well? And Ahimaaz answered, when Joab sent the king's servant and me thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. I think he's lying. What do you think? He's hiding something. And the king said to him, turn aside and stand over here. Stand here. And he turned aside and stood still. Well, at least he had enough sense to do one thing, and that was obey what he was told. And behold, Cushai came, and Cushai said, tidings. Is that what he really said? Good news is what he said. He comes and said, good news, my lord, the king, because the Lord has avenged you this day of all them that rose up against you. He come and told him the great news. He said he's avenged him already. David understood right there, Absalom is dead. No one had to say it, did they? He knew if the man raised his hand against him, he said, the Lord has avenged him, rose a hand against him. He knew immediately Absalom was dead. And the king said to Cushai, he wanted to know for sure, is the young man Absalom well? And Cushai answered, the adversary of my lord the king and all that rise against you to do you hurt be as this young man. You know what? He's saying they're all going to die, anybody that comes against the king, the Lord. And you know what? In your life, any thought that comes against God, what's it going to happen? It's going to be crushed. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, right? It's all going to be crushed down. You can only for a season. And the only reason God lets us have our way of thinking when we think we're in control for a season is just to get us in the position that we really, really need Him. He lets us walk into the quicksand to where we can't get out on our own. And then we'll know which way to go, won't we? It's a good news. Pride is gone. It's starting to straighten things out. Starting to come back around. And the king was much moved and went up to his chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for you. Literally it says this, if only I could have died for you or instead of you. How many parents would not have cried that out? Okay. Where did David cry that from? Soul. The emotions. He cried out his emotions. We've all had the opportunity or will have the opportunity to cry that very thing. Okay. And I said we'd deal with this man again, okay? Verse 21 is the answer to verse 10. No. Verse 21 is the answer to verse 10. Who was this man? A certain man. The one man, should say. And what did Joab tell Cushai? Go tell the king what you have seen. Who was the one that saw it? Cushai saw him get hanged in the tree. To that? Yes, I'm sure there is. Let me look at it again. There's something to everything. There's reason for every bit of it. Well, in verse 23 you're talking about, and Ahimaaz, the brother of anger, ran by the way of the valley of Jordan, by the way of death, and overtook ignorance. Anger will overtake ignorance, won't it? Anger overtakes everything. Ignorance and anger kind of flow together, don't they? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. And where does it belong?
Right. It was still trying to bring David down.
Yeah.
Right. It was a good thing, but it was still a hurtful thing to take.
The truth had to come out. Well, the first one was doing what he was told in ignorance, and the second was doing it out of competition. He was wanting to be the one getting recognition. He said you got no reward for what you do. If you go do it, you get no reward for it. He thought, I'm going to do it anyway. But in his heart, he had something there that was not right, and he wanted to get back for a reason. If you would go in all the detail of everything we have, which we haven't, we've done back, if you go back and survey it, there's a reason why Ahimaaz wanted to do that. There was family, something in there. There was revenge. There was revenge in there. There was all kinds of things that go together with that. And I'm not trying to break this thing down in every minute detail. Can't do it anyway. It's not the detail, it's the principle of the patterns. It's the patterns that we're walking through. We all got to go through these things. And the details are for each individual person, not general to everybody. But the principle...